Okay. Many, many years ago, when I was at school, I was about 12 or 13, I used to sort of hang around with this group of guys. It was our little gang, and we were all sort of quite sort of weedy and sort of skinny and scrawny, which is what happens when you're that age and you're a bloke. And this guy joined the school called Peter. And Peter was like massive. I was really massive. He was like really muscly. He used to like go down the gym and he was taking these sort of weight gain pills. And I thought, wow. Everyone was sort of like in awe of Peter because he was so massive and strong. A bit like Mr. T. He was like huge, but not quite as big as Mr. T. And anyway, so he joined the school. So we thought, well, I think it would be good for Peter to join our little group. So we welcomed him in, and he was our sort of, he soon became our front man. He was like a giant for our group. And when you have someone like that in your group, there's a confidence, isn't there? Yeah, we're with Peter. Yeah, he's one of us. And I used to go to a school in Woking, and our playing field used to back onto Woking College. Obviously, they were a bit older, but we didn't mind because we had Peter on our team. So when it used to snow, we used to throw out this challenge. It was never Peter, it was always us. Yeah, a snowball fight. Yeah, come on, a snowball fight. And guess who was at the front? Yeah, it was Peter. Yeah, we're right behind you, Peter. Go on, Peter. He could throw the furthest, he could throw the hardest. He was right there. Okay, because he was our front man. But how do we feel when we don't have someone like that? What are the sort of feelings that we go through when we're in a bit of a difficult situation and we don't have that giant person in our group and we don't have that front man? What are the sort of feelings? Just think about that. Fear, maybe anxious or, you know, a bit worried about things that could happen. You know, maybe even you get to the point where you just want to just give up and just go home because you haven't got this front man. So when we start reading through the Bible, we can begin to see how the disciples must have felt when Jesus started to tell them that he was going to leave them. They had a giant of a person here, Jesus. He was fully man, fully God. They walked with him. They witnessed miracles. They saw him raise people from the dead. They must have felt incredibly invincible. And if anything happens, even if we die, it doesn't matter because he probably just raises from the dead. They probably felt untouchable. And then one day, Jesus starts to say, I'm going to leave you. And the Bible actually says that Jesus said, and you cannot go to where I am going. I'm going to leave you. You've just got to sort of think how alone they must have felt. In one minute he's there, the next minute he's saying, oh no, he's going to go. He's going to go. But Jesus knew exactly how they would feel. He even tried to gently explain to them, to try and prepare their hearts for what was going to happen. Not just that he was going to go, but he was going to send an amazing person in his place. He was going to send a powerful Holy Spirit. It was like heaven meeting earth. That's what really was going to happen. And he was gently trying to explain to them about the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pause there because the Holy Spirit is right here. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your dreams. He knows your hopes. He knows your fears. The person of the Holy Spirit is here. Every prayer you pray, before the words even leave your lips, he knows. He knows what you're praying. He knows what you're facing. So as we read the Bible today, we acknowledge like the presence of the Spirit and we've got the Word, and this is just such a powerful thing. And when we're gathered together as Christians, there is something about people of God being together where the Spirit comes and does amazing things. When the Spirit came for the first time in Acts, they were gathered together. There is something special. The Bible even says, do not give up meeting together. There's a reason for this. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit in us as individuals, but God delights when people come together. They're together physically, but together in spirit as well. There's something really special that happens. So it's really important that we just don't go through the motions as a church. Yeah, it's you know, sometimes we're quite relaxed as a church, which is great. But there's a danger that we have this agenda that we just go through. Okay, what happens now? What happens now? What happens now? Listen, if we ever get to the place where we remove God, remove the Holy Spirit and don't recognize him as here, we might as well pack up and go home, because it's just us. And God's not in it. It's really important. So if you're here as a visitor as well, I just want to say to you that you're incredibly privileged to be here today. Okay, not because I'm talking, but because the Holy Spirit is here. And you're probably thinking, well, I mean, who's the Holy Spirit? I don't even know God. He's here in his spirit. We go to New Day once a year. New Day is a big youth event. We take a whole load of youth. There's about 7,000 young people there. This year we took a young person with us. And if you haven't been to New Day, it's like the most enormous tent, like the most incredible lighting show. There's smoke machines galore. The music is amazing. The worship is great. These are like gifted professional musicians. There are gifted communicators, like expounding the Bible, sharing the Bible. Nothing convinced this person. They went home, and in the quietness of their room, on their own, they didn't even know God. They said, God, if you're real, just show yourself to me. And the room was filled with a person of the Holy Spirit. She didn't know how to feel tingly and warm. She didn't know. But she felt an incredible presence of God. Spoke to a friend, and a friend had the privilege to lead them to Christ. You've met with God. The Holy Spirit is here. This is so critical. This is so important. So let's just read about this. We're going to be looking at how the Spirit empowers us for evangelism. But I just want to unpack a few verses from John's Gospel today. So if you turn in John, please, we're going to read from John chapter 14. We're going to read a few verses at the beginning of John, then we're going to jump to verse 12. It's just a handful of verses, but these are incredible words of Jesus. Just listen to this. This is Jesus. So he's just told them he's going to leave them. Okay? They've been with him. He's the front man. He's the big giant. And he's going. And they can't go to where he's going. That's what the Bible says. He says this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. The word house is really important. I'm just going to come back to that. He said, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Jesus is with the Father in glory, and he's going to come back. It's a promise from him in the word. You know the way to the place where I am going. And then verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because you're going to do even greater things, and this is the reason why. Because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Jane was talking about that this morning, wasn't she? About the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. He says, do whatever you ask. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. These are such great verses. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're alive. You're in this place. You're watching. You're hearing my words. You're touching hearts. You're opening minds. Holy Spirit, we just say, do your work in this place today. Help us to understand these verses. Help me to communicate well. Help us to understand them, that we may do great things in your name, and you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Advocate. We can move on to that slide, Jeremy. That would be great. So the disciples were troubled. We know they were, because Jesus says it in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. They were concerned because Jesus was going, he was leaving them. You know, we've got the benefit of being able to read the Bible. We've got the word here, so we know what's going to happen. We can read through Acts here. We know the end of the story. They didn't know that. Okay, their hearts were troubled. They were losing their front man. But he says, don't be fearful. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He says, believe in me. And then he starts to map out this incredible journey about what's going to happen. He's going to prepare a room in his Father's house. Now, house is really important, okay? Because when we think of a home or a house, it's like a permanent thing, okay? It's not a hotel, it's not an inn, it's not a tent, it's not a temporary thing, it's a home. He's going to prepare a room for you in the Father's home. This is a permanent thing. He's going to prepare it. Remember, a couple of weeks ago we looked at how Jesus, his first miracle, he turned water into wine, and we looked at this preparation time where the groom goes and he prepares the house for the bride. Well, we're in a season, we're in a time period where the kingdom of God is being prepared. This is a promise from Jesus. He says, I'm preparing a room. This is something that we can look forward to, which is just, it's incredible. Jesus is with the Father. He's going to return for you and I. But now, he's with the Father. He's right there with the Father. This is, as soon as we start to read this, it becomes really incredible that you've got the Father God and you've got the Son right tucked up next to him. He's our advocate. He's our backer. He's a supporter. Look at these words. He's a promoter. He's a protector. He's there for you. He's saying, look at this person. Father, look at this person. He's right there next to God, right there next to Father. It's incredible. Look at this person. We're thinking, oh, really? I look at the stuff in my life. Don't look at me. But actually, God sees the righteousness. The Father sees the righteousness in us because of what the Son did. And the Son's right there now with the Father. And he's saying, look at this person. Look at them, look at them, look at them. It's incredible. This love is incredible that God has for us. In verse 12, he says, you will do even greater things than this. And you think, well, suddenly it's, that verse starts to make sense. Because if the Son is right there next to the Father, and he's saying, I hear every prayer, I hear everything that you say. I hear every fear. I hear every sadness. I know you. But I'm right there by the Father. I'm right there. So that verse suddenly comes alive. It starts to make sense. Now I know we can do greater things. The Son is right there next to the Father. He's tucked in close. He's right there for you. He hears everything. He intercedes for us. He's passing on our requests. And then suddenly when we understand that, these verses, as soon as you start like pondering over them and meditating over them, it suddenly comes alive. And then our prayer life has changed. So because we know the Son is right there by the Father, we say, oh, Jesus, save my neighbours. Save my family. Give me an opportunity to talk to someone today. He's right there by the Father, Jesus. And then it says that he's in verse 13, 12 and 13, he says, ask for anything you want in my name. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, this isn't a magic word that will make a prayer come true. It's not like a traditional thing that we repeat again and again and again. And I think, again, there's a danger here that in our church we can just add on in the name of Jesus because we typically do it. But what he's saying here is that when you pray, pray in the essence of the name of Jesus. Pray in the essence of Jesus. Just, you know, wrap your prayer up in everything to do with Jesus. His love, his grace. Just think about him on the cross as you begin to pray. And I was sort of thinking about this. I thought, you know, when you go into like a London store in Christmas and you go and buy a little gift and then they say, well, should we wrap it in a Christmas wrapping? Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. You pay like double the money for the wrapping. And it looks a bit like this. It's got, you know, like the cinnamon. Do you remember Love Actually, where he buys that necklace? All the cinnamon sticks and you know, there's a bit of lavender in there, heather and potpourri or potpourri, whatever you want to call it, and there's like a sense. Do you know what I mean? And it's like wrapping our prayers in the essence of Jesus. So when Jesus is right there by the Father and he's tucked in close to the Father and he just delivers our prayer because he intercedes. He says, "Here's the prayer," and the Father sees the beauty of this. Because it's in the essence of Jesus. So when we say in Jesus' name, we've got to think about this. This is so powerful, so incredibly powerful. And it's beautiful when the Father sees it and he receives it. It's incredible. I'm just going to give this to a little person. Oh, Jane, I'm sorry, but I just want to give this to my missus. That's for you. It's an early Christmas present. Yeah, I know. Well, I normally forget Christmas. She normally has a Tesco's Christmas. So where I go out on Christmas Eve to Tesco. So look, I've prepared. The prayers are sealed in Jesus' name. We then read that not only is Jesus right there by the Father, but it says he's going to send another advocate. Jesus is the first advocate because he uses the word another. He's going to send another advocate. So Jesus is the first and he's right there by the Father and he's going to send another advocate. And he will be with us forever. He will be with us forever. A supporter, a giant, a front man, a carer, a comforter. The Bible says he'll make his home in us. Again, that word home again, it's like a permanent thing. He's going to make a permanent home in your heart. You may not feel that. You may not feel that every day. There may be days where you think, I am so distant from God. So on those days, you turn to the truth and you read the truth. And the truth is that he's still in your heart and it's a permanent thing. He makes his home in your heart. He's close to you. He lives with you. So in verse 17, it says he lives with you. When things are living, like they're alive, they're not static. He lives with you. He lives with you. He's alive. He wants to be every part of your life. He wants to be part of your dreams. He wants to be part of your future. He wants to be part of your fears and your hopes and your and your care. He wants to be part of that. It's difficult to grasp, isn't it? This person who's living, he's the person of the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three separate people but one. It's really difficult to grasp at times, but he's here. He's living, the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus then gives us some instructions to follow about what will happen when the Spirit comes. Verse in John 15, 26, it says that the Spirit will testify about me. And he says, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So he's saying that actually the Spirit will testify. The Spirit will remind you about things. And he will testify, you also must testify. And he says, do not leave Jerusalem. Into Acts, he says, don't leave Jerusalem. Jesus reminds them about what he's talking about with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't try and do things on your own. Don't do things on your own. How often do we do things on our own? Let's not do things on our own. In the Bible, it says that the Spirit brings life. The flesh doesn't count for anything. It's the Spirit that brings life. We were in a church once when the kids were young and Tom was a little toddler and he was sitting on my lap and there was a crucifix on the wall and he looked up at this crucifix and he said, why is Jesus dead in this place? And I thought, oh, actually, and he might have a point. But we all live in that danger. If we turn up here and we just try and do things on our own, in our own strength, then actually the Spirit gives life. The flesh is of no use at all. So the person of the Holy Spirit in everything we do is so, so critical. He says there'll be the Spirit will baptize you. You'll be baptized in the Spirit. And he uses the same original meaning of the word baptized as when John was baptizing. So it's immersed. You're immersed in the Holy Spirit. The actual original meaning, if you track back, means again and again and again and again. You're overwhelmed. It's like a figure of speech. You're overwhelmed in the Spirit. You're overwhelmed. So it's something you go back to. You just keep on going back. You wake up in the morning. There's a Benny Hinn book that I read years ago, and I reread it now and again. It's called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. You wake up in the morning and say, oh, Holy Spirit, just thank you that you're here. Commune with him. He's a person. Let him live your life with you. This is incredible teaching from Jesus here. Let your whole life be immersed. And then what happens is he starts to transform us as well. Okay, so we have Jesus, the first advocate there with the Father. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just loves to live in us and be with us. And then he starts to change us. So we're changed by the Holy Spirit. So the more time we spend with the Holy Spirit, the more we're changed. So, you know, Peter, in Acts, we read that Peter stood up. So the Holy Spirit came and this burly old fisherman stood up and addressed the crowd. Now we read that as a verse and we think, okay, well, Peter stood up and addressed the crowd. Let me tell you, fishermen did not address crowds. They didn't address crowds. He was a fisherman. He probably hardly spoke. You know, moaned away, grumbled as he mended his nets. He didn't address the crowds. But what happened was that the Holy Spirit came and completely transformed him. So when we think, oh, you know, evangelism isn't for me, really. It's not, you know, that person over there, they're so bright and bubbly, they know what to say. Evangelism isn't really for me. I'll just do the teas and coffees. Make the cupcakes for, you know, guest services. Listen, the Holy Spirit empowers us. It changes us. He changes us. And the more time we spend with him, the more we'll be changed. He's a person. Talk to him. Read books about him. Get to know him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be diligent. Try to understand him. Try and read the verses. Try and, sometimes it's difficult, but just work to read through it. Ask him for his help. Holy Spirit, just guide me as I read these verses. And he'll start to make us bold. He'll give us a godly confidence. Do you know what the Bible, at the end of 2 Corinthians, it pulls the Trinity together in one verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It just wraps it up, one verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just an incredible, lovely gift that we have been given access to God through his Son. Every single one of your sins has been washed away. Every bad word you've spoken about someone, every bad deed, every bad thought, everything that you've ever done bad, and everything that you will ever do bad has been completely and utterly washed clean by the Saviour of this world, Jesus, if you put your trust in him. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of the Father. He loves us. It's the Father. He took everything. God the Father, God the Son. The love of the Father is incredible for you. But we often miss the last bit, don't we? Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We often miss that bit. Do we really fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Ask yourself that question. Do I really fellowship? What does fellowship mean? It's like companionship. It's like partnership. You can't partner on your own. You've got to partner with someone. How often do we fellowship with the Holy Spirit? He's a person. He's here. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit is so important. He wants to empower us, and he works to change us. There's a fruit, isn't there? The Bible talks about a fruit. It's like a byproduct of being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Again and again, you start to notice a change. People around you will start to notice a change. You'll suddenly become super attractive. That's true. You become pleasant to be with. You'll be more loving. You'll be full of joy. When people around you are anxious about, you know, what's the world going to come to? Aren't we living in a really dark time? You'll have this supernatural peace within you that you will be able to speak words of peace to that person. You'll become patient and tolerant with people. You'll become kind and good. You'll be faithful as you reach out to your friends and neighbours. You'll become gentle in your speech. The more we're immersed in the person of the Holy Spirit, the more we get changed. Then as we start to, just to sort of finish up here, I want us to have a time of, I just want us to have a time with the Holy Spirit actually. So I'll just sort of wrap this up, but we've talked a lot about individual things happening and how God changes us as individuals. But when we start considering that as a community, it then becomes quite an amazing thing. When you start thinking about these things, you know, we look at the fruit listed in the Bible, the byproducts of what happens when we are immersed in the Holy Spirit, when we are overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. As an individual, you then think about a community, you think, oh my goodness. If a community is changed, that's when it gets incredibly powerful. Just imagine what a community would look like, attractive to those around us, with the person of the Holy Spirit with us, our front man, our giant. remember Peter at school? We have the Holy Spirit with us, living in us. The Spirit brings life. So if we want to change the world, we need to be changed as an individual and gather together as a community. It's exactly what Jesus said. It's exactly what he said. And then it becomes quite powerful.